This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show. This hour, Mark Meckler, the president of Convention of States, which could be the only thing that saves our republic at this point, the possibility of a Convention of States. Because I'm not going to live under another 4 years of Joe Biden and his Marxist nonsense. I'm not. They're going to try and steal the election. They are working to do that. That's what the indictments are for. And if you don't understand that, honestly, get out of the way. Get out of the way, because the people who want to defend the country as founded want to save her. There you go. An Obama-appointed judge rules that illegal immigrants can carry guns in the United States. Mm-hmm. Sharon Lynn Johnson Coleman in the United States District Judge in the United States District Court of Northern District of Illinois, whatever the hell that is. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman, appointed by Barack Obama, ruled that an illegal immigrant has the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Well, there you go, guys. Joe Biden is allowing an army to come in, and now that army can have guns. Yeah. 100%. Without a federal statute, the ruling came out of the case of Herberto Flores. A federal statute prohibits non-citizens without legal status in the U.S. from possessing or, in effect, commerce any firearm or ammunition, or to receive any firearm or ammunition which has been shipped, transported, etc. She basically said, well, he doesn't have a criminal record, and he was using it to defend himself. He's illegal. People are responding on Twitter, saying, I want you to read that again slowly. Tell me that we are not being set up for some serious action on our own soil with armed foreign invaders. This is a communist ruling which is purely purposely emboldened criminals that are coming across our border by the millions. Very scary times. There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Then you've got a Supreme Court justice yesterday who's saying that the First Amendment hamstrings the government. And didn't even realize how stupid she is. Didn't even realize. She went through law school, apparently, and didn't even realize that. Because in law school, you're supposed to be able to interpret the Constitution and apply it, and then also take previous rulings and decide whether they are not constitutional or not. That's what it's all about. She clearly does not understand the Constitution at all, and certainly the Bill of Rights.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods.
Yeah, so she's saying that the government should be able to assume control in an emergency so that misinformation and disinformation aren't spread. That's words of Joseph Stalin there. Uh-huh. U.S. Justice Samuel Alito blasts the U.S. government and Facebook partnership. The government treats big tech like subordinates because they have Section 230 and antitrust in their pocket. This is what Alito said about it.
And I see that the White House and federal officials are repeatedly saying that Facebook and the federal government should be partners. We're on the same team. Officials are demanding answers. I want an answer. I want it right away. When they're unhappy, they They curse them out. There are regular meetings. There is constant pestering of Facebook and some of the other platforms, and they want to have regular...
Only when it's conservative speech or viewpoints that disagree with the government.
...meetings, and they suggest, why don't you... they suggest rules that should be applied, and why don't you tell...
In other words, shutting down unpopular speech, which is what the First Amendment was made for.
...tell us everything that you're going to do so we can help you and we can look it over. And I thought, wow, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media, our representatives over there. If you did that to them, what do you think the reaction would be? And so I thought, you know, the only reason why this is taking place is because the federal government has got Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket, and it's, to mix my metaphors, and it's got these big clubs available to it. And so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates.
Yep, exactly. That's what it is. This is Naomi Wolf. Naomi Wolf is a doctor, an author, an activist, and she was called a denier and a liar and a psycho and all sorts of things, even though what she said was true in many cases. But she was made to be like so many, like Dr. Peter McAuliffe. Oh, yeah, you're a denier, you know. And think about all of the things that we disagreed with. You're either a denier or you're some sort of a phobe. You don't want your children to, you know, be subjected to puberty blockers and surgery that would make them eunuchs for the rest of their lives. Well, you're a transphobe. Yeah. You don't think your kids should be divided by race and hate each other in school. Hey, you're a racist. You're a racist. Yeah. Naomi Wolf.
It's worrying that the Justice Department seems to have moved the goalposts to how much coercion is too much, right? Instead of the clear, bright line of the Constitution, which is the government cannot use third parties to silence the speech, the First Amendment protected speech of citizens. So the CDC and the Department of Homeland Security, you know, think about those organizations. If you're a doctor, the CDC saying behind the scenes in writing to Twitter, Facebook, yep, you know, this is misinformation.
You can't talk about ivermectin. That's horse paste. You can't do hydroxychloroquine. That's an animal drug. That is ineffective. You need to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart from each other.
Take action on this, harrying, bullying them. But also just as a citizen, when I found out that, law enforcement agencies were looped in, and the Bureau of the Census, who knows where we all live, right? How many children we have, where our children are. I mean, it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, beyond terrifying and absolutely ridiculous that we have somebody on the Supreme Court who would say something so stupid as Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I worry, too, that if it goes the wrong way, it sets a precedent for, now it's COVID misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
What's next? If you are praying for someone to have an abortion, is that misinformation? Mm-hmm. If you are critical of the government, is that...
And there is no election interference at all. Everything is on the up and up everywhere. Yes, absolutely.
Misinformation. I mean, keep in mind that the outcome of the 2020
election... There is no border crisis. The southern border is completely sealed.
...is also... categorized as misinformation by the Justice Department. If you don't like the outcome of a future election, are you going to be targeted by law enforcement agencies? I mean, that is literally what happened.
Yeah, it happened. Eric Schmidt is a senator in the United States. He's one of the people who brought this lawsuit about the government censoring you and me on social media. He did it as the AG of Missouri. Now he's a senator from Missouri. And you may recall a couple years ago, I came up with the expression, dissent is not disinformation.
That's the problem of when you put the quote-unquote the experts or the science. We took Anthony Fauci's deposition, and they were very headstrong about what their point of view was. It doesn't give them the right.
You can't say that the virus came from China.
To censor other Americans, which is what was happening here. You combat speech you don't agree with more speech, not censoring speech. And this played out. And look, they, and even in those arguments, they talked about this being a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. Well, that's what every dictator or tyrant does, right?
Yes.
You have an emergency, you consolidate power, you exercise that power in ways people never thought they would. And so here we are now with this very important case sitting before the Supreme Court. You know, what is protected in the virtual town square? Certainly people have a right to express dissent. dissent. The government doesn't get to crush dissent because they think we're in some sort of an emergency. They just don't get to do that.
Yep. But that's what they did. And that's what they want to do. And they can declare anything an emergency. That's the way they roll. A little bit more from Eric Schmidt.
Because there's agencies like CISA that most people have never heard of, was under the guise of disinformation and misinformation, as you clearly articulated. That's a ploy by wannabe tyrants to control speech.
Yes.
The truth of the matter is, you get to say your opinion, even if somebody else thinks it's wrong.
Yeah.
The government doesn't get to shut that down. The government doesn't get to tell you what you can say and what you can hear. It's up to the individual to decipher what they, how they want to move forward and what they, as they analyze facts and what their decisions are.
And there's a good share of the time, in fact, I would venture to say more times than not, the government lies to you. Social Security and Medicare are completely solvent and cool. We are not going to raise taxes over anybody making, $400,000 or less. Go on and on, man. Honestly. Let's go to John in Freedom, California, of all places. John, welcome to the Rob Carson Show.
Thank you, Rob, for taking my call. I want to say, first of all, that Donald Trump should hear this. The conviction in New York City is unlawful according to the Constitution of the United States, Article 1, Section 10. No state shall make a law that impairs the obligation in contracts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of it, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and also you might add the old cruel and unusual punishment thing, too.
Well, the cruel and unusual punishment comes out of another one. If you want to talk about the Bill of Rights out of 10, 7 of them are violated by the actions of the state of New York.
Absolutely, bro. I appreciate your phone call, and hopefully one day we'll get retribution and some people are going to pay for what they have done, including Letitia James, maybe losing her license, maybe being charged criminally for her nonsense. This from the Politics Brief. MRC researchers found 41 times where Google interfered in elections over the last 16 years, and its impact has surged dramatically, making it ever more harmful to democracy. And it's true. If you look at anything on Google, I don't trust Google as far as I can throw them. You have to look at Google through a political lens. From 2008 to February 2024, Google has utilized its power to help push a electoral victory, the most liberal candidates, regardless of party, while targeting their opposition for censorship. 2008, Google appeared to select the radical young Barack Obama to help spur a victory over John McCain. In 2012, Google once favored Obama over Mitt Romney. The tech giant refused to correct a Google bomb that smeared leading GOP primary candidate for president Rick Santorum. 2016 or 2018, researchers accurately predicted that Google's significant pro-liberal bias would be enough quite easily to have flipped all three congressional districts in Orange County from Republican to Democrat. 2020, Google targeted Tulsi Gabbard for censorship, disabling Gabbard's ads account just as she became the most searched candidate following the first Democrat Party primary debate. You think you have a choice, Democrats? Nope, you haven't. The tech giant also suppressed news sources critical of Biden and reportedly blocked GOP fundraising emails from reaching users' inboxes. Google search results and even get-out-the-vote reminders favored Democrats. In 2020, election results away from Trump and the GOP by at least 6 million votes. 2022, Google buried most Republican campaign websites for 12 consecutive Senate races. 10 of 12 did not make the top 6 search results, and 7 did not even make the first page of search results. Also, 61% of the stories included on the Google News homepage linked to leftist news media outlets. 2024, Google has been aiding Biden, burying in its search results the campaign websites of one of his significant opponents, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finally, Google AI, Gemini, formerly Bard, refused to give responses to prompts regarding two of Biden's biggest weaknesses, his mental health and the ongoing border crisis. There you go. That's how they're doing it. I know this because I've lived it. I'm not going to tell you my stories again. You know my stories. But it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous, and it is sickening. And hopefully the Republican, or I should say the Supreme Court, will pull their heads out of their rear ends. Oh, by the way, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, apparently he is looking to get ready a deal to buy TikTok. I don't know him, but he sounds kind of promising. He spoke out against the Letitia James judgment against Donald Trump in New York. O'Leary Ventures Chairman Kevin O'Leary announced he's ready to make a deal to buy TikTok if ByteDance sells it during an appearance on Fox News. He says it's not going to get banned because I'm going to buy it. Somebody's going to buy it. It won't be Meta and it won't be Google because a regulator will stop that. A syndicate will be formed. I would like to be involved, obviously. So we will see. Coming up, going to move into the $454 million bond that Letitia James is demanding. And now they are talking about taking one of Donald Trump's properties, just like Maduro did in Venezuela. Yep, that's America. Hopefully we can stop it. This is the Rob Carson Show.
He's called me venomous.
We will fight back to your attempt to bring Trumpism to New York City.
He's called me disgraceful.
I'll be back to they stole the Supreme Court seat.
Called me radical.
Listen,
yes.
We know he's crazy.
Yes.
We know he doesn't have a sound mind.
Yes.
We know he's out of control.
Yes.
We know he's losing it.
Yes.
We know his days are numbered.
Do you feel that would be fair if that attorney general was charging you? Saying that, campaigning on going after you, even though she had no evidence you've done anything wrong. What about if it's you? You want to live in that country? I don't want to live in that country, and I sure as hell hope that a lot of you who live in New York don't want to live in that state anymore. It is insane. She went after Donald Trump. She made up charges. She went after him for undervaluing some of his properties to secure loans that he paid back with interest, and literally had people from Deutsche Bank appear in court saying, we love doing business with him. He's our kind of customer. And they used and they twisted laws and they got a judgment of $500 million because they wanted to destroy his empire and they want to take his properties from him, just like Chavez did in Venezuela. Appropriate, appropriate, appropriate. Hell, even Joe Rogan gets it. Joe Rogan. He's not even largely political, but he understands what this is.
It is kind of crazy how many times they've indicted him.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy because it seems like what happens in banana republics. But just somehow or another, it's okay. The exact same thing.
Well, because protecting democracy.
Well, did you see when that guy from Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary, when he was discussing this whole thing, is like, you're going to ruin real estate development in New York. People are not going to want to do real estate deals there because this is how they do it.
Yeah.
When they say my building is worth $400 million, you're supposed to say, no, it's worth $300 million. Here's a loan on $300 million. Like, to say that that's fraud when he paid the loans back.
Yeah.
This is that is like the epitome of like, what are you doing? Like, what are you chasing? And what have you not chased?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You should leave New York City until everybody is turned over in that city. Everybody in government, everybody in the judicial process, they need a complete overhaul, just like they do at the top of the United States. Michael Steele, who is what price your soul, bro? What price your soul, Michael Steele on MSNBC? Listen to Michael Steele talking about this, and then Letitia James slobbering over the building that sits right across from her office.
It's a scenario New York Attorney General Tish James saw coming, and she has been absolutely clear on what she's prepared to do if and when Trump comes up empty.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
We are prepared to make sure that the judgment is paid to New Yorkers. And yes, I look at 40 Wall Street each and every day.
She's an evil woman. She's an evil, evil human being. There is no doubt about it. If you look at a textbook definition of evil, she is an evil person. She's going after someone for politics. That is it. She had the flimsiest of cases. And I got to tell you, I don't know sort of void in her soul that she has, but clearly it is massive. It is massive. Here's a little bit more from Mr. Joe Rogan.
$360-something million.
That's insane.
It's a lot of money.
That's
for someone that does. Where's it go? Because there's no victims.
Right.
That's exactly. A problem. Like Elon tweeted that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, where does it go?
It goes to her brag sheet is where
it's just kind of bonkers.
No, it's beyond bonkers. And I would venture to say if what Donald Trump did was so egregious that every single real estate developer in New York City has to be pursued to these ends. 100%. You have to treat people equally under the law. Otherwise, it's political, right? File charges against every real estate developer who has disagreed with a bank's assessment of the value of their property. And then sue them for everything they have. And if they can't pay it up, seize their properties, just like Venezuela. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things are pretty volatile in this country. A lot of people are having to come back out of retirement to work. That number's gone up 400% because we don't know which way the stock market's going to go, which way interest rates are going to go. Silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to prepare wealth and hedge against economic instability. Physical silver provides you with a tangible asset that you can hold on to in your hand. CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in tangible coin assets. Every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your silver and gold coin collection with confidence. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money itself, right? So go to csnmint.com/newsmax. Use promo code Newsmax, and you'll get one free silver eagle over $30 in value with your purchase of $75 or more. Browse the entire catalog at csnmint.com/newsmax and find out what works for you, your budget, and your family. That's csnmint.com/newsmax and use promo code Newsmax, okay?
The place where DEI goes to D-I-E. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Coming up, our special guest, Mark Meckler with Convention Estates in just a second. I told you the story about my producer, Ken, who bought some chicken wings that had the yellow sticker on them, which means they're, about to go bad. I buy a lot of stuff like that at a grocery store. I put it in the freezer. I don't let it sit in the fridge for a couple of days like he did. And unfortunately, he got salmonella. And he was so sick he couldn't get out of bed, really. And so he got his emergency medical kit from the wellness company. And I'm not saying you skip the doctor visit, but it just so happened that he got into the emergency wellness kit, and he looked up and he saw that Z-Pak is effective against salmonella. And guess what? After spending the night in the bathroom, he took it and he started to feel better immediately. And within 12 hours, he was back to normal. Oh, yeah. That's what this is for. And if you do have salmonella and there is a shortage at your grocery store, or your Walgreens was shut down because of massive theft or a supply chain disruption, wouldn't you like to have a wellness kit from the wellness company created by Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the most censored doctors in U.S. history during COVID, even though he knew the truth about it all? With the Wellness Company Emergency Medical Kit, you get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, amoxicillin, among others, and a detailed booklet on how to use them if you need them. They also have an emergency contagion kit as well, and a travel kit as well. The only company that I would trust for an emergency medical kit is the Wellness Company, and if you go to this website, you'll save 10%. Okay, it's twc.health/Carson, twc.health/Carson. Write it down so you know it, twc.health/Carson, and get one. If you have jumper cables for your car, you need an emergency medical kit, twc.health/Carson. Mark Meckler, Convention of States, my friend. Welcome. It's been too long, but we are glad to have you back on the show. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm busy. I'm going to that website you just said so I can get one of those kits. So.
Well, you should. Well, you should. And then I'm going to go to the Convention of States website. Thank you very much. So, obviously, as this year, 2024, becomes more insane, arguments by the Supreme Court's Ketanji Brown Jackson basically saying that, hey, the First Amendment kind of hamstrings the government. And I go, well, no, bleep, Sherlock. We clearly are being run by maybe not so much of the Supreme Court, but certainly in the deep state, a bunch of very corrupt individuals who make our founders' abuses and usurpations pale by comparison. I believe that the Convention of States is the only thing that can really save us at this point, considering all of the election shenanigans. I'm hopeful for a victory. How is the move for a Convention of States going?
Well, we're in full swing. I mean, this is legislative season. So for us, the year gets started the first week of January. Right now, I think there are 37 legislatures in session across the country. In the last week, I've been all over the place. I was in Connecticut. I was in Louisiana. I was in Florida. And I would say it's going really well. What we're seeing is every year, incrementally, we move forward further and further in states where we've never gotten into committee. We get in committee, and states where we've never gotten out of committee, we get out of committee. It's definitely an incremental game, but it's going really well. We have one state, by the way, in the whole country where it's never been introduced. There's only one we've introduced in 49 states. The only place that hasn't happened is in Connecticut. I was just there last week. Literally had 100 people show up from the grassroots on a weekday in a very blue state. Got a promise from the legislature that next session will be introduced, so that'll be our 50th state introduced.
Now, let me ask you, there are some people who are pushing fear-mongering campaign about the possibility of a Convention of States. I have no fear about this. What is the goal in your estimation, or your goal, period, because you are instrumental in the creation of this organization, of a Convention of States? What do you hope can be done if and when this does finally happen?
Yeah, I'll start with a general and go to the specific. Generally speaking, the goal is to restrain the scope, power, and jurisdiction of the federal government. The federal government had 17 enumerated powers when it was founded, when that document was written by the framers. Today, because of the courts, and you mentioned some discussion by Jackson Brown, Ketanji Jackson Brown, but the reality is now they have 17 million different powers that have been granted by the court. So we have to. That's the goal of the convention. We can do things like impose term limits on the federal government. We can impose a balanced budget amendment on the federal government, spending caps, tax caps. We can do away with things like the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Health and Human Services. These are things that the federal government was never intended to do. This is power that's been usurped from the states and from the people. And the only way we're going to fix it is if we fix that ourselves, Rob.
I think it needs to be done. I think, A, we need Donald Trump in the White House again. B, I think we need a Convention of States. You could switch those around, by the way. But I think it is absolutely necessary. You look at the scope and overreach of the federal government, it has become obscene. When we can't, as the American people, we have to sit and watch a stream of people come across our southern border, clearly with malintentions toward the United States, many of them military-age males from our enemy states, including China, and the American people can't do anything about it, Mark. To sit here and watch our own destruction is so disturbing and disgusting. And we've got to do something about it. The American people are crying out for it. Before we move on to other things, how could people get involved with Convention of States?
Yeah, they can go to conventionofstates.com, sign the petition to let your state legislator know that you believe in this, and then click on the Take Action tab, Rob, because you're in action, I'm in action. We need everybody in action if we're going to save the country.
We need to do something. Also, I might mention, I know that you are very passionate about the defense of Israel. Donald Trump yesterday was talking to Sebastian Gorka, a frequent guest on this show, and he said that the Jewish people who vote Democrat hate their religion and hate Israel, and of course the left is taking his comments out of context like they did the word bloodbath. But I would venture to say, and I have been saying it forever, that the Democrats who are Jewish in this country are self-loathing. They are also self-loathing liberals in this country who would hate themselves because of the color of their skin, would be perfectly fine with illegals coming over into the United States and reaping all sorts of benefits while they suffer. It is somewhere between, I guess, Munchausen by proxy and the Stockholm syndrome. I believe it's common in both Jewish Democrats and also Democrats and liberals in general. What are your thoughts about Donald Trump and his comments about Jews who vote Democrat?
Well, look, I feel like I can speak to this with actual personal knowledge. I am Jewish on both sides of my family. I'm a Jewish Christian, and I agree with that. I don't understand how any Jew in their right mind could speak out against Israel at this point, could speak essentially for Hamas, for the folks that committed these terrorist acts, this rape, this murder, this torture. Those are absolutely self-loathing Jews. And I don't think they understand anything about history. And I don't think they understand that the people that did this to Israel would just as happily do it to them. And I also think the broader point that you make is correct. Democrats are weirdly self-loving. They think they're the best, most amazing people in the world, and self-hating. Yes. They support yes. people who would be happy to send them to their deaths. You've got this LGB for Palestine, whatever it is.
Yes.
I get all the alphabet stuff. And those people would be tortured, murdered, thrown off a building, shot in the face, whatever it is in both West Bank and Gaza. And yet they support those people. It's absolutely insane.
Well, it's the same people who egged on Black Lives Matter and said you should be able to steal, you should be able to do whatever, you defund the police, and now they're getting what they deserve. Now it's coming home to their neighborhoods, and they're freaking out about it. But I've never understood this, waking up every day hating yourself because of how you were born, despite the fact you never owned slaves. I always thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Look at my upbringing versus the one that so many espouse as, you know, truly being a victim in this country. My father left me at age 7. I was raised in poverty by a single mother. I was bullied. I had to work in farm fields for almost no money at all. I can go on and on. I can go on and on about it, and then all of a sudden I find out just a few years ago, and my son is very young in school, that he's privileged. And I'm privileged. And honestly, I'm done with it. I'm thoroughly done with it. And I don't hate myself because of how I was born. And this has all been put into place for people to divide us. That's all it exists for.
You know, this week I saw a fantastic interview, Elon Musk, and he was talking about all of this stuff, right? All of the ridiculousness of the DEI, of all the things where we're categorizing people by race. And his position was just stop it, right? Like, enough of this stuff. There's nothing healthy about it. There's nothing good about it. It's not going to do a single good thing for our society. And that if what we're doing is if we're going to stand against racism, he was speaking to Don Lemon, then we just need to stop talking about it. That by talking about it, all we do is talk, talk, talk. We make it much worse by every measure, every single measure, no matter who you ask. Race relations are worse in this country. Barack Obama was president than they were before he was president. And that's because talk about people didn't think about it. People just judged each other by the content of their character. But were they racist? Of course, there have always been racists. There will always be racists. But when we focus on it, racism is always much worse.
And I might add that when you say that the United States of America is institutionally racist and nobody can achieve anything if they are black in this country, you are whizzing on the history of the greatest black people who have ever walked on the face of the earth. Everybody from Jesse Owens to Louis Armstrong to Oprah Winfrey to Michael Jordan to Michael Jackson. I could go on and on and on and on and on. They come almost exclusively from the United States of America. If not, where is the Oprah Winfrey of Chad? You know, where is the Michael Jordan of Nigeria? Really? Honestly, it is utterly ridiculous and an insult to history. Listen, Mark, I greatly appreciate you joining me today, and I will do everything I can to create momentum and continue the momentum you've started with Convention of States. Again, conventionofstates.com if you would like to you'd like to sign up. Mark, I might also mention there are Convention of States meetings around the country. You can also join in. I've spoken to a couple of them here in the Kansas side of Kansas City. Is that correct? So people could go and just attend a meeting and learn a little bit more?
Yeah, they can do that. If they go to the website and they sign up, then they're going to, if they say they want to volunteer, they'll get connected with all their local teams, see everything that's going on. Convention of States activists are involved in election integrity stuff, pro-life stuff, pro-Second Amendment stuff. If you're interested in being involved, Convention of States is the place for you.
All right, my brother. Great to have you on. We need to make your visits more frequent. All right?
Absolutely. God bless you,
Rob. You too, bro. Appreciate it. I want you to listen to this. You know, I've talked to you. I said 77% of us believe the country's going in the wrong direction. 77% of us can come together. And I mean this. So my black brothers and sisters and my brown brothers and sisters who have never had any animosity toward, I want you to listen to this, man. This is Chicago pastor Patrick Lowry. He was on Steve Bannon's show, and he's in Chicago. I want you to listen to him. Listen to what he says about coming together.
This is a travesty of justice. Federal laws have been broken. We have illegal.
He's talking about the illegal invasion and how it's affecting people in Chicago and around the country, particularly people of color.
We go immigrants in our country. We have veterans and we have homeless people in Chicago that are still sleeping under the viaducts. They don't have food to eat, and yet they're giving millions of dollars to illegal aliens who are here, who are not a part of this country, who have never spent one penny. And to the American people and patriots across this country, it's time for us to be one America.
Amen.
No longer can we sit back and say, I'm a white American, I'm a black American.
Yes.
We have to be Americans right now and stand up to the tyranny that we see that the Democratic Party is doing in our community.
Come on.
You're talking about our schools, you're talking about pedophiles, drug cartels,
yes.
Drugs here. You got immigrants killing people and shooting people and intimidating. This is not the American way of life. And I just think the American people need to stand up right now,
yes.
Push back, and say no more to the Democrats. Say no more to those who are stealing money and taking money, especially the black politicians and the black community,
yep.
Across this country, who will not stand up for the black community. Because if the black politicians stood up and answered the call and asked questions why and said no, that we will not have illegals here.
Yes.
If the black politicians said no, we're not going to have homosexuals and transgenders in our schools. It's up to the black politicians to stop this, but they haven't. So I'm telling black people across this country, we can no longer vote for the Democratic Party. We can no longer sit back and let them allow them to destroy our community. We must make that change. And I'm suggesting that black people across the country watching this, that we stand up and put Donald Trump back into office, because when he was in office, we didn't see all of this. There was no inflation, there was no wars, there was no illegal immigrants in our country. Trump did what he needed to do to secure the borders, and now that the Democrats are in office, our whole country has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yep.
And if the American people and patriots across this country, especially Christians, those who say they love God and Christ, if we don't stand together,
yes.
And become the body of Christ to stop the evil that we see, then we're going to lose this country pretty much, Ben.
Absolutely. Hillbillies, homeboys, Hebrews, Christians, Jews, Gentiles, we can all come together to save this country, and I know we will. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Letitia James can start seizing Trump's buildings in a week. The clock ticks for the ex-president to get together a staggering bond fee of almost $500,000. Could be crippling his finances. Screw Letitia James. Here is Matt Whitaker talking about why this is unconstitutional.
The most fascinating issue for me is really this Eighth Amendment issue that's percolating up from the civil case in New York that Letitia James brought as a campaign promise and really a vindictive effort for her to push Donald Trump and his companies out of New York. But, you know, there are supposed to be no excessive fines and, you know, no cruel and unusual punishment. It's a constitutional
yep.
right. It's our founding fathers knew this was a a weapon used by the state to harm citizens that were out of favor. Well, you know, 250 years later, almost, here we are with this same threat, because they, you know, the founding fathers understood one thing, and that was human nature. And so, you know, I think we'll see that in the Supreme Court soon of the United States. And I think ultimately that that almost $450 million fine now that Letitia James is celebrating the accrual of the interest on.
And you thought that mugshot was going to ignite the country. You take away one of his properties, you ain't seen nothing. You're going to have people who are ungovernable in New York. And I'm not talking about violent. I'm just talking about done with your crap. Joe DeGenova is talking about this new Alvin Bragg. He apparently has filed for a delay because a whole bunch of new documents showed up, pages of documents, and apparently the reason why he needs a delay is because the documents shoot a hole in his case.
Well, he doesn't have any choice now. I mean, he's made a terrible mistake by indicting it originally, but he can't dismiss the case now. But what Victoria said actually affects Alvin Bragg in a very severe way. The reason the Southern District of New York did not turn over these documents to Alvin Bragg sooner.
Why?
Was because they are exculpatory.
What?
They are going to help President Trump in Alvin Bragg's case. And Alvin Bragg is furious about this because he didn't want them turned over at all.
Wanted to cover them up.
And finally, the Southern District turned them over.
Uh-oh.
And now Trump's people deserve at least 30 days. It should be at least 60 days, in my opinion, perhaps the 90 days that they're calling for. But everybody has to remember this. The reason the Southern District didn't give those documents to Alvin Bragg sooner is because they are exculpatory.
There you go.
And that is what is going to throw the wrench into Alvin Bragg's case.
Because now that those documents have been allowed, they're going to make his case go up in flames in public. Yay! Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Gold One knows that your skin changes all the time. Like waking feeling hydrated, only to have dry skin after a walk on a cold day. Or having dull skin at work, to glowing skin for date night. People don't have one skin, they have skins. And Gold Bond Lotion's clinically proven formulas contain 7 nourishing moisturizers, plus 3 vitamins to help you take care of all of them. For all your skins, Gold Bond. Visit goldbond.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show. And by the way, if you want to listen to the Rob Carson Show podcast, go to your favorite podcast platform and just look it up. Or you can ask Alexa, play the Rob Carson Show podcast, and she will do it for you. Fortunately, she did not do that just now because she is in the studio with me listening to every word I say. Kind of like having a second wife. Kind of like that, except for she doesn't tell me, to do stuff on the weekends, and all that. So, yeah, check it out. The podcast is pretty awesome. Oh, and I have a new email address. Yay. It's robcarsonshow@gmail.com. We just wanted to simplify it that way, robcarsonshow@gmail.com. If you would like to do that, you know, I think we need a little levity, don't you? Maybe a little palate cleanser. Let's start with President Derpity Doo and his wife, Miss Derpity Doo.
When it comes to Alzheimer's,
she's a doctor.
Thank you. That's what Joe does best. He takes action and quickly.
Okay.
We're the only nation in the world divided and defined. Every other nation is defined based on geography or ethnicity. We're the only nation based on...
Visiting Angels, American choice for home care. I don't know if you know this, but President Derpity Doo got some of them newfangled orthopedic shoes. Yeah, because he doesn't want to fall and not be able to get up. This is new from Jim Gossett. I don't think these are going to sell out like Trump sneakers.
I just got a special pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
With white soles to keep me off the ground. Shoes that help me keep from tripping. Cows on my back, I am often found.
He's a little off key there.
These shoes keep me from slipping. At least I hope they do. Without these shoes, Joe Biden's gonna fall all over you.
Probably got one of those little benches at his shower.
The media protects me every chance they get.
On the wall near the toilet, you know.
They try to hide my senility.
Da, 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 da.
The way I stumble and the words I'm slurring. CNN, how they cover for me.
They do a good job, don't they?
These shoes are made for Biden to keep me on my feet. Without these shoes, you might see me sprawled out on the street.
There you go.
Jill, grab my arm. Losing my balance. I thought these shoes were supposed to keep me from falling.
Wow, that is it's fantastic. Joe Biden has orthopedic shoes, and I believe that there are several different kinds you can get. There's one called the Nurse Ratchet that you can get there. And wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so Donald Trump apparently, he's an anti-Semite. Now, this it comes from the same party, the Democrat Party, that wants to forget October the 7th ever happened and literally replace Benjamin Netanyahu in the middle of an existential war. The same party that is freeing up $12 billion in Iran assets. The same party that allowed the Iranian government to pursue the nuclear weapons. The same party that crushed the Green Revolution in Iran so the mullahs could stay in charge. The same party who have no problem with anti-Semitic rallies around the country. The same party who is perfectly fine with the squad radical anti-Semites in Congress. The same party who lied about a hospital bombing in Gaza that never happened. The same party initially, right after October the 7th, that immediately said we need to give $100 million to the Palestinian Authority, even though they know the money would go to Hamas. So I guess Donald Trump is the anti-Semite. Donald Trump was talking to Sebastian Gorka on his podcast yesterday, and here's what he had to say about self-loathing Jews.
Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel would be destroyed. You have Iran now making a nuclear weapon. None of that would have happened with me. That's a big thing. With me, Iran was broke. They were absolutely stone-cold broke. There was no terrorism because they didn't have money to fund Hamas and Hezbollah and the other 28 groups. They had no money. They were stone-cold broke.
Now, I said online this morning that the self-loathing liberal exists somewhere between Munchausen by proxy, which is a disease, largely it's a mental disorder, among women that will poison or injure their children to get attention. Okay? So self-loathing Jews would be cool with, oh, yeah, two-state solution is the definite thing they need to do after October the 7th. Oh, yeah, and we need to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. So let their children or you know, their compatriots in Israel die and suffer while, you know, you're over here in the United States and you're getting attention as being somehow brave and defending the Palestinian people. So that's Munchausen by proxy. And then there's the Stockholm Syndrome, which is the captors win the hearts of those who are in bondage. And they begin to side with the people who are holding them hostage. So there's some of that. There's also a little bit of the disorder that women get when they fall in love with men on death row. There's a little bit of that going on there. So they love Hamas like a psycho cat lady loves psycho serial killers in prison. It doesn't make any sense. And Donald Trump is 1,000% right. Yeah, 1,000% right. And all of my Jewish brothers and sisters know that, too, by the way. I have many of them because I have a very, very deep and resounding respect for the Jewish faith. I'm only a heartbeat away from the Jewish faith, for crying out loud. I'm Catholic. They're real similar, by the way. And I mentioned yesterday, if you heard it, I think I'm becoming more Jewish. You know, there are certain things that when you're really young that happen. When you're a Catholic, same thing happens to little boys. When they're Jewish, there's that. And then, you know, St. Patrick's Day came around, and I looked at the price of corned beef, and I said, that's too high. I'm just going to wait until they close it out and make pastrami. So I'd say that's pretty Jewish. And if you don't believe me that there are self-loathing Jews, how about the guy who, British-born, what's his name? Jonathan Glazer. He's the director, and he did that movie Zone of Interest about Nazis raising their kids on the over the fence at Auschwitz, never asking any questions, just kind of doobie doobie doo. I'm going to work today, honey. I'm going to go over there, and I'm gonna murder some Jews. I mean, I'm gonna build stuff. Okay, honey. Have a good day at work. I will take care of the children right here by Auschwitz, the place that you work, where they make widgets. You know, that's what the movie. I made it through about 5 minutes of that movie. I couldn't watch it because I'm still very disturbed by the original Holocaust. Been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and certainly the October 7th Holocaust, which liberals have decided they're going to sweep under the rug, despite it being a barbaric orgy of sexual assault. I won't go into the details. But 500 prominent Hollywood figures have signed a letter condemning the Jewish director, his accepted speech, accusing him of likening Israel's assault on Gaza to the treatment of Jews during the Holocaust. This is that whole combination of, murderers falling in love with murderers and death row and the Stockholm Syndrome and of course, Munchausen by proxy. And here is Jonathan Glazer, just did this profound speech about, his film, talking about, the Germans and their Nazi death camps and all that. And he decides to side with the people who hate the Jews.
Thank you to the Academy for this honor and to our partners, A24 Film for Access and the Polish Film Institute, to the Auschwitz-Birkenau State Museum for their trust and guidance, to my producers, actors,
collaborators. Now let me have sympathy to the same people who want to repeat another Holocaust and wipe the Jews off the face of the earth.
All our choices were made to reflect and confront us in the present. Not to say, look what they did then, rather look what we do now. Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst.
You mean like saying things like from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free? Like that kind of stuff, you mean?
All of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent.
No, it's not a conflict. It's a war that they declared on an invading army that murdered civilians by the thousands and raped them and baked babies in ovens and gang-raped women. Then the final guy in line shoot a woman in the back of the head, cut babies out of a woman's womb, watch the baby be murdered in front of the mother as she breathes her last breaths. You know, that sort of thing. So not exactly an occupation, you moron.
People, whether the victims of October the... Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all the victims of this dehumanization.
No, it's not an attack on Gaza. It's an attack on Hamas. And Hamas uses their people as human shields. And they indoctrinate their children to hate the Jews. And on September the 11th, they partied in the streets as Americans burned to death and were crushed to death in New York City and in a field in Pennsylvania at the Pentagon. And they threw kids to they threw candy to their little children. And their little children danced around and they grew up. And they indoctrinated those children to hate the Jews enough that they went into Israel. Those children were now adults and they committed those atrocities on October the 7th.
How do we resist?
So stupid.
Alexandra Bistron Kolodziejczyk, the girl who glows in the film as she did in life, chose to. I dedicate this to her memory and her resistance. Thank you.
So anyway, more than 500 prominent Hollywood figures have signed an open letter condemning Jewish director Jonathan Glazer's accepted speech accusing him of liking blah, blah, blah. The letter was published on Monday by Variety. It was signed by luminaries such as Deborah Messing, Eli Roth, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Juliana Margulies. But this is a self-loathing Jew. And it's like I said, it's the same thing as a self-loathing liberal. The self-loathing liberal wakes up every day and hates themselves. They feel like they're privileged if they're white. No matter how well they live in or whatever. And a lot of the times they are fairly privileged. You know, people like Joy Behar and others who live in opulence, who have achieved more than you and I will ever achieve as far as riches. And they suddenly hate themselves, but they want you to suffer because of it. Because they could sit there in their perch and they've got bleep you money all over the place. And you may work in a coal mine or you may work as a farmer. And trust me, I grew up growing on a farm. And you may have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and bust your ass in a field and feed your cattle, even though it's 10 degrees below zero, and go out and plow the field so that other people in places where people like Joy Behar live can eat. And Joy Behar is willing to say that you are privileged, we are privileged, because she has bleep you money. So it doesn't affect her at all. That's the self-loathing liberal. That's the self-loathing liberal. And that is why Donald Trump was absolutely right to say that about those who vote for Democrats. And I would venture to say for people of color as well who continue to vote for Democrat. What have you seen? What fruits has the Democrat Party brought you? Your schools are failing in inner cities worse than you can ever imagine. That's worse than they've ever been. The black nuclear family gone. 20 million black babies aborted. Margaret Sanger's dream come true. And you were down with it. You are fine with it, and you keep voting Democrat, and things never get better. You get a little scrap every once in a while. But right now, the murder rate in inner cities, black on black, is 13 times the national average. A complete disintegration of black culture. Built on grievance against whites. And where is that getting you? Nowhere. And fortunately, some people are waking up, and we're all coming together and realizing that if we are not black, it doesn't mean that we automatically hate you. It means we want you to succeed like everyone else in this country. But so many times, people of color keep voting for Democrats. They get all sorts of promises. You know the story. And the day after the election, Democrats get up, leave some money on the dresser. See ya. And it's finally cutting through. I've got some details coming out of Chicago and other cities where people of color are very angry at the government stepping over their bodies to make way for illegals. That's coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Relentlessly slowing the spread of the stupid every day. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Alice in Chains. I don't know why Alice in Chains has been trending on Twitter these days. I'm not sure exactly what this is all about. I like Alice in Chains. They're one of my favorite bands. I'm a Gen Xer, kids. You know, there are two kinds of Gen Xers. There's kind of Kurt Cobain, Foo Fighters Gen Xer, and then like the cusp Baby Boomer Gen Xer, you know? It's kind of interesting. I'm more of a Foo Fighters kind of Pearl Jam Gen X. anyway, I got a lot of stuff I want to get to. At the bottom of the hour, I'm gonna read something. It's called an audio blog. I haven't done these for a while, And the reason being, and I'm going to start doing them wholesale. They are very deeply personal. They require a lot of work. And this one is for those who've lost their mothers recently. I have 2 years ago. My wife did in November. Dan Bongino, a friend of mine, lost his wife, her mother, over the weekend. And I want to read this piece. I'm just going to call it Mary's Prayer. Okay? After the bottom of the hour. Because, you know, some of us are of a certain age. Some of us are in our 50s. A lot of times mom and dad, you know, pass away. I mean, obviously moms and dads can go earlier. I understand that. But by and large, people, you know, if you look. So this is a very hard time for some of us. But I'm going to read this this audio blog after the bottom of the hour for you. If you're struggling, I'm good. I've been able to feel joy again. My wife is still struggling, so we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that very soon. Let's talk a little bit about Fannie Willis. Trump's co-defendants file another motion to disqualify Fannie Willis. The lawyers demand immediate review of the judge's decision and says she still carries an odor of mendacity. I did not realize where odor of mendacity came from. It is from Burl Ives, of all people.
What's that smell in this room? Didn't you notice it, Brick? Didn't you notice a powerful and obnoxious odor of mendacity in this room?
Yes, sir. I think I did.
There ain't nothing more powerful than the odor of mendacity.
There is nothing more powerful than the odor of mendacity. No, So, well, maybe that's what that was. Because there is no way you can wash that stank off you. I mean, Nathan Wade could take showers for weeks. He's going to still... Lawyers for Donald Trump and Georgia co-defendants have renewed their move to try to disqualify Fannie Willis from their case, appealing a judge ruling by invoking his own words, the odor of mendacity. He cited political dishonesty in testimony after a dispute over when the prosecutors began their affair, their a-boom-chicka-boom, or bow-chicka-bow, but also ruled the conduct as he slammed as inappropriate wouldn't keep defendants in the election overturn case from getting a fair trial. This according to the UK Daily Mail. In its order, the court found that District Attorney Willis' actions had created an appearance of impropriety and an odor of mendacity that lingers in this case, as well as the continuing possibility that an outsider could reasonably think that the District Attorney Willis is not exercising her independent professional judgment, totally free of compromising influences and positions, I might add. Maybe bent over, maybe downward dog. She also lied. She lied. She said she didn't go to the White House when she went to the White House. So she perjured herself on more than one occasion. She lied about when the relationship with Nathan Wade took place. Both of those are, they should have her removed from her position and possibly disbarred. She committed perjury. Perjury. Jonathan Turley wrote a great piece about the Fed's stench of selective prosecution. I don't have time to get into that this break, but hopefully someone will have some common sense and just toss this case out. Regardless, it ain't gonna happen before November, and that's what they're all there for. All right. So when Donald Trump is elected, all these cases go away because they were only there and are only there to keep him from running for president or put him in jail before the election. There you go. Coming up, my audio blog. If you've lost a parent, I hope you will listen. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Come on, Pete. Start moving. Got to get me there.
This is the Rob Carson Show. I'm going to do my audio blog in a second here. And if you've lost a parent recently, hopefully, and the reason why I'm sharing it today is hopefully it'll help you, you know. I don't know if it will or not. We'll see. You know, there have been a lot of stories about squatters in homes. A lot of times people will go into somebody's home, stay in a home, and in places like California, they can't evict them, and you're screwed. And they could destroy your house, and there's really nothing you could do about it. My mom, she used to manage properties because, you know, we were we're pretty poor. And so we got a couple of, you know, bargain properties in a couple of local communities. And my dad busted his butt and made them better. And we rented them out. And occasionally somebody wouldn't pay the rent for a month or two. And my mother, what she would do, are you ready? She would move in, set up a card table and a chair in the foyer of their apartment and say, I am your new roommate and I'm not leaving until you pay the rent. And guess what? They either moved or they paid the rent. Ding, ding, ding. I watched it. It was fantastic. Well, somebody may be already squatting in your house. You don't even know about it. Maybe someone has stolen your deed. Maybe somebody's transferred it without you knowing it. Maybe somebody, maybe a crook took out a home equity line of credit on your house. You don't even know about it. You wouldn't even know about it until you decide to sell it when you retire. And then by that time, it's going to be too late. Maybe you'll lose your home. Maybe you'll be stuck in a lawsuit that you can't afford. How about you make a small investment and get a comprehensive scan of your home's title from Home Title Lock? Might be a good idea. You could find out if somebody is taking your property, is using your equity. All you have to do is sign up. Use my code word Carson, which just happens to be my last name, and get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title. And 30 days of legendary home title protection. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. Okay, that's the net. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Carson or promo code Carson. You'll get that comprehensive scan of your home's title and 30 days of legendary home title lock protection free. How about that? HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. I do these things called audio blogs, and I haven't done them on my show yet. And the reason being is once I start them, I have to commit to doing them. And they require a lot of thought, a lot of preparation, and an enormous amount of emotional equity. I'll just put it that way. And I've experienced loss the last few years. My mother died a couple years ago. I was very blessed to have been there on Mother's Day three years this year. A clergy member was there, and my mother asked God to let her die. And you may think that's tragic, but I was relieved. And when I saw her at her wake, I realized that wasn't my mother. She was gone. She had moved on. And so I was grateful to have been there on that day. My wife's mother passed away far too young. She was 81 years old. She died of lung cancer. And I was in Baltimore at the time doing an appearance, and I got a call from my wife at the airport in Baltimore saying, do you want to talk to Mary? And I knew I wasn't going to make it to see her. And I said on the speakerphone, Mary, I just want you to know that I love you, and you've had a profound effect on me. I will never forget you, and I promise you from the depths of my soul that I will take care of your daughter and love her more than you could ever imagine for the rest of her life. So I wasn't there when it happened, but I was able to convey that message to her. My friend Dan Bongino, I saw his podcast, and he talked about his mother. She passed away unexpectedly. I believe a fall was involved this weekend. And Dan was talking about how he was at home by himself, and he was startled that precisely the moment his mother died, he found out the next day. He was startled in the middle of the night. He felt as though someone was embracing him. Somebody was grabbing him and embracing him. And then released. That's what Dan said. I don't doubt that happened. But many of us, and I get a million emails from you when I talk about my mother-in-law's passing. And you're going through the same thing. And I appreciate and read every one of your stories. And when I receive your story, I pray for you. I don't know if it's worth anything to you, but I do pray for you. So I wrote this. It's called an audio blog. And if you've experienced loss, or maybe you've got a parent who's going to pass. I know that many of you, including some of close to me, have a mother in or a father in hospice. So without further ado, I just titled this Mary's Prayer. An urn sits on her mantle, waiting for a time when family can come together from afar and spread your ashes as requested. It's odd and painful still to receive your mail. It's even worse now that your name has a new prefix, the estate of. Occasionally we get a card from an old friend who's unaware of your passing. We politely return it to sender. We begin preparation in fear of our parents' eventual passing as children, but it always is never as or when expected. No one, no matter the preparation, it doesn't cushion the blow. You fought an amazing battle, Mary, and even at the height of your suffering, you took the time to leave messages on your daughter's phone so they could hear your thoughts after your passing. I still cannot listen to them. It's quite simply too much. More than a decade ago, I watched you take your daughters around the house to see what they'd like when you passed. I thought it was strange and macabre at the time, but you did it out of love. I guess it made things easier as we emptied your house. I miss the conversations you had with your daughter, my wife, on speakerphone on the back deck in the summer. I miss your signature phone answer. It's something that appears to be very common with moms, and it's something I cherish about mine. She used to say, "Nyello." Mary used to say, "Hi there," enthusiastically. These are the little things that make us smile briefly, that distract us from the gaping void left in our lives as we face the awful reality of living them without you. You asked me to write your eulogy more than a year ago. I don't think I've ever put so much thought into something you said should be short and sweet. I was able to deliver it with a clarity and strength that even surprised me, because I know you expected me to do so, and I didn't forsake you. You passed the Friday before Thanksgiving. I toasted you by saying, "At Thanksgiving, we give thanks for what's on the table, when we should truly give thanks to those who surround it. We'd give up everything we have to have you back in your esteemed position at our table. My son and my wife were there when you left this earth. You signaled you heard her words as you last breath left your body. I know as you left, it was a gift to your daughters were with you, as you were with them when their lives began. That's the greatest gift any child can give their parents, to be there when they depart. That day will, for the rest of our lives, be remembered as the day you died. I do my level best and would encourage you not to simply focus on the last day of someone's life, but on all of the days shared during that lifetime. It does no good to distill a lifetime of memories into a single drop of tragedy. So we live on, and with each day, we grow a little stronger, and we get closer to being able to remember you fondly without wincing with grief. Before your mother left, she told us when she did pass, and we pass, she would be at the pearly gates waiting for us. Please give her our best.
Being here is heavenly. Every single day she sends. Everything is free.
This is a song called Mary's Prayer.
I used to be so careless, as if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this mess when I was Mary?
That is the song that I remembered when I wrote that. I hope that and I apologize. You know, just when you think you're strong, just when you think you are past the grieving process, you get hit in the head with it. You know, you get hit in the head with it. So I apologize for that. But if you are suffering, then I hope that that meant something. I'm going to post this on my Rumble channel, Rob Carson Show, okay? And I'm going to I'll give you the directions how to get there and everything. So, and I will also post the script of it on social media and possibly even Substack. How's that sound? All right, so let's move on. let's move on. If I can comfortably segue from that, which could be very, very hard to do, although I am known to do that. So let's pivot. One of the things that I've said to my wife about our lives, and you know, when somebody is in the throes of grief, it is very hard to get them to experience joy. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to make them feel joy again. All you can do is wait. All you can do is wait. And I told her the other day, and I'm just going to share this with you because someone shared it with me. Someone shared this with me. I said, sooner or later, one of us is going to see the other one die. How about we enjoy the life before then? In my life, I like to, and I told my wife the other day, we are in two-minute warning, third quarter. Two-minute warning, third quarter. 58 years old is how I am. My wife's a couple years younger. Two-minute warning, third quarter. And every day, because I've been through a lot of crap, I mean, you don't even know the crap I've been through, but every day I greet the day with abject joy because I'm able to do what I do for a living. And I was discovered by a man named Chris Ruddy at a car dealership praying every night to die, asking God to take me so my wife could get the insurance money. That's how bad it got. But I had a miraculous healing in my life. And so every day I greet with joy. And there are days that I really struggle. And there are days that the joy goes away, but it comes right back. I want you to get there. This is something, and if you see me on social media, you've seen the transition that I've made in my life, my physical transformation, and it's been pretty remarkable. And I'm well on the way to make it even bigger and better. All right? This is interesting. And I save this just for this moment. I want you to pay attention. Cancer researcher reveals the lifestyle habit that dramatically boosts your chances of surviving the disease. 40% of Americans are going to undergo cancer treatment at some point in their lives, and the toxic tumor-fighting chemicals in chemotherapy and invasive operations, which often involve removing entire organs, cause the death of about a quarter of patients. Dr. Lauren Yancey, an eye surgeon based at the Georgia Vision Institute, who researches cancer-related vision loss, now tells you how you can change your life. And rather than aging and suffering and getting to be 70 years old and hobbled and bent over and able to move, or 80, even worse, I want you to listen to her words, because I'm doing my level best to serve by example, all right? Here she is.
If you're in your 30s and your 40s and you're not thinking about what your life's going to look like in your 60s and 70s, I hate to break it to you, but most of you are going to get there regardless of your health.
Yes.
You're going to get there either dragging ass and unhealthy, or you're going to get there feeling good and living life. You know what I can promise you? It's not going to be a doctor that gets you there. It's not going to be a doctor that gets you to the end of your life healthy.
Nope.
It's going to have to be you.
Boom.
The healthiest, most long-lived people are the ones that have to see us the least. So let's assume you're in this till your 70s, which the majority of you are going to be. So how are you going to get there and feel better? How are you going to leave this world with all your original parts instead of with 5 stents, bilateral knee replacements, and a shoulder replacement because your knees didn't work anymore, and then a hip fracture at the end? How are you going to get there healthier? You've got to do some exercise that has impact and is weight-bearing, or running or hiking with a backpack on, something that has an increased mass to it.
Yes, 100%. You've got to do some resistance training. You know why they call a workout? It's because it replaces working. We used to work all day. Yeah, yeah. So resistance training, using your own body weight or free weights, and doing it religiously for the rest of your life. There you go. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show. Jimmy! Look, crosstown traffic. I like music. I don't know if you knew that. It's one of the things that motivates me. And, you know, I may be a late-stage Generation Xer, but I love music. I love new music. I love old music. I love it all. I played music radio forever, and so there's some songs I just can't, I mean, can't listen to. Like The Romantics, What I Like About You. Oh, you know, no. Never, ever, ever. You know, Dancing Queen, ABBA, Dear God in Heaven. No. But a lot of music I truly enjoy. That's how we're able to do the dearth of song parodies that we do, because I know these songs. You probably haven't heard on the radio in a long time. Whatever. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the economy, shall we? My producer, Ken, who is also known as Redneck MacGyver, put together this little ditty. It's a little ditty, it is, about shopping at the Dollar General.
We're eating pickles from the dollar store. Hot buckets from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
Who needs hamburger?
We're eating pickles from the dollar store. Hot buckets from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
When you're making hamburger helper, you don't need it. The noodles are just fine. There you go. So the end of self-checkout at the Dollar General. You know, I went to the store the other day. I went to the self-checkout aisle, and there was a mirror. I said, damn, you look pretty good. Thank you. I'll be here all week. So Dollar General, Target, and Walmart are apparently getting rid of the self-service registers. You know why? Because it makes it so much easier for people to steal crap. I know. And there are people who aren't honest out there. And there are things like when you weigh those grapes, you can key in a different number, like something real cheap, like arugula or something, or celery. And you can get the grapes really cheap, so people are doing that. So this is actually bad for thieves and great for employment, for those who enjoy standing at a cash register. But it's better than nothing, you know what I'm saying? So Dollar General announces they're pulling off their self-checkout stands entirely from 300 of its stores with the highest level of shoplifting and misscanned items. And at Dollar General, literally, you could rob the entire store and escape with about $40, $40 worth of stuff. We believe these actions have the potential to have a material and positive impact on shrink, according to Dollar General CEO Ted Vassos. So there you go. The self-checkout is going bye-bye. Not because it's impersonal and all that stuff. It's because so many people in this country are completely void of character and steal crap. There
We're
you go.
We're eating pickles from the dollar store.
Hey.
It's from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
Love me some expired
We're
wings.
Eating pickles from the dollar store. It's from the Dollar General. Chicken wings expired yesterday.
That's right. There you go. That's Kenny singing about those expired chicken wings he ate the other day that had... gave him salmonella. And knowing Ken, he woke up the next morning and said, worth it! Okay, let's go ahead and take a break, come back, wrap this thing up. This is the Rob Carson Show. That's going to do it for the show. If you want to hear my audio blog or see it, go to my Rumble channel. It's called Mary's Prayer, and it's at Rob Carson Show. Twitter, Getter, Truth, Rumble, Rob Carson Show. God bless you. God bless America and Israel. Until tomorrow, which is Wednesday, don't catch the stupid. See ya.